Dynasty Radio, 1382.
Ah, Uncle Jaseneb, life, liberty, prosperity, yet another decree stolen from you and me. The ancestors of the Nile Valley left us other messages too, like, let food be your medicine, and let your medicine be food.
Why is food and drugs under the same administration? They putting drugs in the food to keep money accumulating now. They like to call it additives and preservatives, slowly killing everybody that purchases it. Can you pronounce what's on the back of the label? Then that shit we need to keep off our dinner table now. The food is what's fueling these diseases, paying rich doctors all these medical fees, but they never cure you, they just keep you in need, cut you open for surgery and let your pockets bleed. See, we got away from what we used to eat. We forgot we were kidnapped and forced to eat meat. We ate from the earth, so we communicated with it. We cut the conversation, now check the situation. See, blacks the leaders in heart disease, cancer. We give them money like pills is the answer. Damn, I'd be wrong if I didn't pass the info. Hormones in the food got you thinking like a nympho. Wonder why all these young girls so thick, like a baseball player. Steroids is it. They got it in the vegetables, the fruit, the meat, and all the fast food they be selling in the street. It's a war going on, and our diet must reflect it. We all got the power, we just gotta direct it. Neglect it, never refer to the metal nature that them hoteps, the father of medicine.
Peace and love, family. Thanks for joining us. This is Food for Medicine, and I am Kenya Jones. For those of you who are new to Food for Medicine, we are on every Friday at 3 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Now, my sister, who is also the host of the show, Dr. Akivi Adiro, is going to be coming in momentarily. Let me see if she's available. Are you there, my sister?
Yep, I'm here. Peace, everyone.
Peace. Greetings. Greetings. For those of you who, we're coming up to our second year anniversary, so if you guys want to go into our, I know it's like all excited, so if you guys want to go into the archive, you can go and check us out at dynastynetwork.net. Once again, dynastynetwork.net, and check out when we first started. May 2013.
Wow.
But yes, we're going to have, I know this seems like time just flew. Like, it doesn't even seem like it's been that long. But, you know, you guys can go to the archives and check out past shows if you want. There's a host of topics that have already been discussed. But if you want to, you know, come and give us other, you know, topics and things, you can do that on our, we do have a like page at Food for Medicine on Facebook. And sis, can you give them the name of your like page for your practice?
Yes. My like page is called Nkingu Health. You just put that into the Facebook search and you'll find it. It's spelled N as in nighttime, apostrophe K as in kite, I N as in nighttime, G U. So Nkingu Health. And that's my practice name. And, yeah, if you go on there, even if you're friends with me on Facebook, you can usually find it because I post from it under the name. So, that's me.
Yeah, so, yeah, you can go and like the pages and do all that, you know, send us messages you want, especially, you know, Stevie, she always encourages you to reach out to her. And you can give them your email as well, sis. For those of you who don't have it, you want to make sure you write it down. And she also gives free counsel. You know, I forgot, you can give them, fill them in a little bit more as far as the consultations as well.
Right. I give free 10-minute consultation just to give people a chance to talk to me and tell me what's going on with them. And then I can tell them how I can help. if you go to my website, which is Ask Dr. Adiro, askdradiro.weebly.com, then you can go on there and you can schedule your 10-minute phone consultation, or especially if you're in the Phoenix area or like the Phoenix metropolitan area, anywhere in Arizona, you can schedule an actual physical appointment with me. But even if you can't physically make an appointment, you can always do, I do phone consultations too, so you don't have to physically be here. I have actually I have a lot of my patients are not in the same state as me. So askdrdiro@weebly.com. My Gmail is askdrdiro@gmail.com. So any comments, concerns, questions, don't hesitate to hit me up. There are all kinds of ways to get at me. So, yep.
Wow. Yeah, so today's topic, well, I'm so rude. Let me introduce myself. I'm acting like everybody that's listening in right now just know us like that, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But just in case you don't, I am Kenya Jones, and I am an aspiring herbalist and nutritionist. I try to learn as much as I can about health and wellness, especially with the help of my sister, Afibi. Now, Dr. Afibi, if you can go ahead and give the listeners, you know, who you are, what you do, and then we can get into the topic of the show.
Sure. So, again, greetings, everyone who's been with the Dynasty family, and for those who are new, welcome. My name is Dr. Afibi Adiro, and I'm a naturopathic physician, which means that I am a family practice or a general practice practitioner, but I focus on using natural therapies such as acupuncture, hydrotherapy, physical medicine, and my passion is diet and nutrition, as well as lifestyle, healthy lifestyle incorporation. That's what I am really passionate about, which is the reason why my sister and I do this show, because especially with the food, if your diet is not supporting you, then no other therapy you do on top of that is going to be as effective. So that's pretty much what I'm here when I'm about. And then, of course, my practice is in Kingu Health. So greetings,
indeed,
everyone again.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, I know you're not, well, for those of you who are listening, I know you guys are familiar. And for those who isn't, you know, like I said, go back into the archives, but we have another dynamic show for today. Mm-hmm. And the topic we're going to be discussing is tonic herbs for organ system support. Now, this show has come right on time because I know of someone that is sick right now in a hospital with organ failure. And so when you told me about the topic, I was like, wow, this is so interesting, because I just got news that somebody was having issues with their organs. So this is right on time. I'm going to make sure I forward this information over immediately. As soon as the archives are done, I'm going to forward it over immediately. And, I always ask you what kind of prompts you for, this specific topic. You know, as far as, you know, going into the system or how important this is, because a lot of us, we kind of take things for granted. So if you can kind of give us a little background on what prompted you to even do this topic for today.
Yes. So basically, like I always say, I'm always inspired by my patients. I'm inspired by things that I encounter, you know, in my everyday today.
Right.
So basically, I wanted to talk about it because for one thing, spring is coming. We're in February now, and then hopefully where everybody is, it's warming up. I know in a lot of places it's still cold as heck. I'm in Arizona, so it's already starting to warm up, but the spring is coming, you know, and it's always good to have some tonic herbs on hand, especially for those of you who are ready to do your start planning for your spring. Spring cleanses, as well as, again, like you said, for those brothers and sisters who are looking for something to help kind of support them in their healing journey. It's always good to just get everything you need through diet, get everything you need through the food that you're eating. But sometimes we need a little bit of help. This is kind of the same concept that people or manufacturers try to use when they put us on multivitamins and put us on all these different supplements. And supplements are fine. They have, when they're, good quality and they come from a manufacturer that has integrity. But, you know, sometimes I feel that the supplements can kind of be a crutch that is not natural. I mean, any way you cut it, a supplement like that has been extracted, like man-made powders and, you know, all these kind of things, like taking out one vitamin A, one vitamin C, you know, and just kind of giving it to people, that I feel is getting away from the natural holistic medicine that I choose to promote. to mm-hmm. patients. I like getting everything we need through the food. And the best way to me is if you need support, like say you need an extra boost, extra minerals, extra vitamins, I say get it through herbs. That is really what herbs are used for. Yes, they're used for like herbs and spices to flavor food, but you can also use herbs to get those nutrients that maybe you're lacking from the food, especially nowadays because the food's like not as nutritionally dense as it was during our ancestors' time because of some mm-hmm. of the harvesting and farming practices. But I feel like you can use herbs to support different organ systems in the body. It is true because when you look at how our ancestors used herbs, they paid attention and were in a rhythm with nature to where they understood that these plants are put here to serve different purposes in our lives. That there's even a concept called the doctrine of signatures. For those of you who don't know, that's when a plant resembles a certain part of the body. So, for example, Gotu-Kola, which I'm going to talk about more today, resembles the brain and the different hemispheres of the brain. So traditionally, Gotu-Kola has been used to support those people who need assistance in developmental problems, nervous system problems, you know, memory, anything that you can think of dealing with the brain, getting more circulation to the brain, because like people who have had stroke, they put Gotu-Kola in a lot of formulas for post-stroke situations. So it's that understanding that herbs have been put here in our environment for us to use, you know, for our healing or to help facilitate our healing. And that's why I wanted to do this, is because I like to help people get away from the millions of supplements. I want us to understand and get back to get back to using the plants and the herbs, the whole herbs, because that's where you get all of that. You get like that complete nutrition and you get that complete form of the nutrients you seek to get. So, and then people always ask me, what's good for this? What's good for that? What's good? Like, what's a good supplement for this? And I'm like, well, supplements are cool, but really you can address the condition a lot better with something more holistic and that gives you a more well-rounded response in your body. So with that said, that's what a tonic herb really is. I'm going to get right into it and talk about what a tonic herb even is. You know, in botanical medicine, a tonic herb is really a tonifier. So it's a tonifier of the body system, which means that it helps to invigorate and restore the tone to different organ systems to promote general health and well-being. So with that being said, herbal tonics in the form of tinctures, teas, syrups, you know, think about all these things that we used to make back in the day. They're made with specific selections of different tonic herbs to address different health concerns. So as we will discuss today in a minute, you know, I want people to understand how they can pick their own herbs for things they have going on. They can use single herbs because a lot of times these tonic herbs, they're great. They're great because they may have an affinity for one body system or another, but they usually just help to really strengthen and restore the whole body for the most part, because you can't fix one thing and not fix another. It's like having a traffic buildup. You know, if one car breaks down in traffic, it's going to hold up every other car behind it. And, you know, eventually everybody's going to find their way around that broken car, but it's going to take some time. It's going to slow things down. It's going to make things not as effective. But what needs to happen is that somebody needs to get out there and move the car or fix the car so they can get back on the road, and then traffic will flow smoothly again. So with the supplements, because you're taking out one thing, it addresses one thing. It's like how prescription drugs address a symptom. You don't want to just get rid of the symptom. You want to tonify and heal the root cause of the disease process so that everything's moving and flowing smoothly. So that's what herbs do. That's what tonic herbs do, especially. So, and as far as I want to talk about categories too. Tonic herbs, they're like a large group of herbs. It's kind of like a general term, and in that tonic herb group, there are specific categories, you know, that tell you the actions of certain types of tonic herbs. For example, one really common category that many tonic herbs fall into is called adaptogens. I know many people are getting more conscious of what adaptogens are, but they're actually so adaptogens are basically a type of tonifying herb that helps with stress. The next category that a lot of tonic herbs fall into are blood purifiers. The next is nervines, and the last one is alteratives. Now, I'm going to talk about each one of those categories. So the adaptogens, like I said, they deal with stress. They help the body. They have the ability to help the body cope more effectively with stress. Now, specifically, adaptogens recharge the adrenals, and the adrenals are the body's main mechanism for releasing those biological chemicals for responding to stress and emotional changes. So when you are overworked and when you are burnt out, that's really what's happening, is that your adrenals have been exhausted. Those stress chemicals and hormones and markers are all in your body all the time, and it's literally taxing your body and sapping your strength and your energy. Now, because we know that excess stress is a huge component in the development of disease processes of all kinds in the body, adaptogens balancing this, even just this, because, I mean, yes, it helps reduce stress, but reducing stress, you know, balancing that aspect of our biochemistry, you know, it's very effective in helping to get to the root cause of many ailments and bringing about general feelings of vitality, peace, and wellness. And this happens when people take these adaptogenic herbs for long periods of time. Usually people start feeling the effects after a few weeks of taking adaptogenic herbs, but the effects are nonetheless significant. And when people are consistent with it, they really see changes. So adaptogenic herbs are excellent tonic herbs that I'm going to talk about. And I'm going to talk about individual herbs, but I just wanted to get the categories out of the way. The next category of herbs that are within the tonic herb group are alterative herbs. And alterative herbs are those that will gradually restore the proper function of the body and increase health and vitality. And different alterative herbs have a natural affinity to one organ system more than another, you know, but overall they have a stimulating effect on the lymphatic system, the endocrine, and the immune system, all of those systems are necessary for, you know, if you notice, they're all necessary in building up the body's defenses, you know, so that means that it's building up the defense against infection. It's building the body's defense against toxicity from the environment, you know, like different gases and chemicals in the water and things in the food. It's building up our defenses against that. And it's also working to it helps to facilitate the body in neutralizing those offending agents and sending them out or to those areas of the body where they can be sent out for elimination. So a lot of alterative herbs are also like gently laxative, you know, along with working with the lymphatic system. Because remember, lymphatic system is huge when it comes to detoxifying. It is your body's version of a water purification system. Or maybe I should say the water purification systems are a model of what your lymphatic system does, because it's literally filtering out the liquid portion of your blood and making sure that it is it's clean and free of all those things that can make you sick. So making sure that those are eliminated through being gently laxative, which a lot of alternative herbs are, really helps with facilitating healing. Now, the next category of tonic herbs are nervines. Nervines are those herbs that strengthen the tone of the nervous system, hence the name nervine. You know, they help with reducing and easing anxiety and feelings of stress. Again, addressing stresses in the outside of the body, addressing stresses from the outside and in on the body can have a huge impact when it comes to an efficient healing process. Because, you know, stress, again, is one of the biggest obstacles to healing. So what's more is many of those nervine tonics not only reduce stress, but they also have a sedative effect, inducing restful sleep. And sleep, you know, I talk about sleep in pretty much every other show. Sleep is extremely important if you hope to rid yourself of any ailment, especially chronic ones. If you had a condition that's been going on for a long time, it's more than likely that you could use some more sleep, I'm sure. And it's probably keeping you awake. So this is for this reason that a lot of tonics, like tonic formulas, usually have nervine herbs in them, along with other tonic herbs, to help induce rest and sleep, so that people can be able to have that time of restoration. You know, even though they're dealing with pain and discomfort and things, you still have to sleep, because if you can just go to sleep, you can start feeling better. And it's because it's during sleep that your body has the time to regenerate and restore those tissues that they need to. So nerve lines are excellent and very useful for healing. So these are a few common categories of which, you know, the tonic herbs will fall into. What's more is that many of these herbs are safe and effective for long-term use, which makes sense because the effects of many of these tonic herbs that I'm talking about, they are going to take a few days or a few weeks for you to start seeing the actual therapeutic actions taking place in your body. Now, it is for this reason also that being consistent with taking tonic herbs is really important. Setting up regimens is important so that you can get the herbs in every day and are, you know, making sure that you do what you need to do as far as preparing the herb. If you got to make a tea or something, making sure that you're consistently making it or doing what you need to do to have a batch of tea ready for you each day, so that you're more easily able to incorporate this tonic taking into your daily life. You know, for all of the herbs I'm talking about today, all of them can be found in some type of tincture form, a capsule, or a tea. So depending on your taste palate, you know, some people don't like the way the teas taste. Depending on the time you have, your lifestyle, you know, depending on whether you dislike or like taking pills or if you don't like taking alcohol, there are tinctures that are made with alcohol and tinctures that are made with glycerin, which is not alcohol. It's more like a vegetable glycerin, especially for those people who are maybe recovering alcoholics, or you have like some kind of acute liver disease or very sensitive liver disease, or for whatever reason, for religious reasons, you can't take an alcohol tincture, then there are glycerite tinctures. So there are different forms you can take it in. Do what you need to do to make the most effective way of administering your herbs, you know, get incorporated into your life. And all of this will help in your long-term usage and ultimate success with using these herbs to heal yourself. So with all that housekeeping out of the way, let's get into these herbs so that you can have the information you need to decide which herbs will assist you in your health needs. So the first herb I have on my list, and all these herbs are not by any means a complete list of the tonic herbs. There are many tonic herbs, but these are just some of my favorites that I find or have found useful for myself and for my patients. And, you know, it's just a short list. And all of these I actually have available on my website. I just opened my Nkingu herbal and product store. So if you go to my website at askdradiro.weebly.com, you can actually find all of the herbs I'll be talking about today, and you can buy it per ounce. So I just wanted to let people know that's kind of like an easy one-stop shop that you can go to for a lot of these things that I'll talk about. And the store is going to grow, too, in the future. All right, so Gosu-Kola. Gosu-Kola is phenomenal. I love it. It is a rejuvenative nervine. That's the best way I can describe it. It rejuvenates, and it's recommended for nervous disorders. It's even good for epilepsy, senility, premature aging, you know, and the kind of like the dementia. If dementia is trying to set in, it's good for people who are dealing with that. As a brain tonic, it is said to aid in intelligence and memory. That's what I always hear about Gosu-Kola. Many studies done. It helps with memory. It helps with recall. It also strengthens the adrenal. So it also has a tonifying effect on the adrenal, so helping with stress. And it cleanses the blood, to help specifically treat skin impurities. So Goju Cola has a nice effect on cleansing the blood as it relates to the skin and helping with skin eruption and rashes and things like that. Goju Cola also combats depression. It's a circulatory tonic too. A lot of people don't know that the reason that Goju Cola has such a good effect on the such a wide ranging effect on the whole body is because it is a non pungent circulatory tonic. So whereas most circulatory tonics are really spicy, pungent herbs like cayenne and ginger and things like that, well, Goju Cola is actually a cooling circulatory tonic or cardiovascular tonic, but it has an affinity for the nervous system and the brain. So even though its main focus is on the brain and nervous system, it's going to help with circulation all over the body, especially when it comes to the making sure that the veins are sufficient and effective in doing their work. So if you suffer from things like varicose veins, just kind of like painful, crampy legs, poor circulation in the extremities and things like that, Goju Cola can also help with that. Now, if you do have those particular things going on, I would pair Goju Cola with some other herbs, especially like ginger, to kind of give you that warming aspect, because a lot of people that have poor circulation are cold. But Goju Cola in combination with those warmer herbs really just kind of help to boost not only the effect of the Goju Cola, but the other herbs as well. And then you'll have that nervous system tonifying aspect. What else do I want to say about Goju Cola? Goju Cola also has been indicated traditionally for chronic, for wound healing. Healing from minor burns, scars. It's even been seen to help with scleroderma, the autoimmune disease, skin ulcers. What else? I'm trying to think anything else. Any kind of cuts, bruises, any kind of damage done to the skin, Goju Cola can help with. And the reason for that is because Goju Cola helps with synthesis of collagen in the body. It stimulates the production of collagen and even elastin. And both of those tissues in the body are needed in order for healing to take place. So when you damage the skin, you damage the collagen, you damage the elastin, and that's why you get scarring. That's why you get a scab first, and then you get scarring, because the body needs something to protect that and close that area while the tissue is regenerating underneath, so they can look as normal as it can and heal. And Goju Cola helps with that healing. This is especially good for those who have weakened immune systems, and thus their healing time is slowed down. For example, in diabetics. Diabetics have notoriously weakened immune systems. Therefore, they have to be very careful with stubbing their toes and getting pedicures and scraping themselves, hurting themselves, because the healing time is a lot lessened due to the hyperglycemia. Goju Cola is excellent for diabetics because not only does it help with circulation, so then you have great circulation going to the extremities, helping to immune complexes that can fight bacterial infection and all kinds of things like that, keeping the limbs warm, but it will also help the body in sending those necessary collagen synthesizers and elastin synthesizers to damaged tissue so that healing can be more effective. So Goju Cola, excellent, excellent herb for healing. You can make it into a tea. You can find the dried herb at most herb stores. Like I said, I do carry Goju Cola tea on my website at drdiro.weebly.com. And then you can also find Goju Cola, if you live in areas where it grows, you can actually use it as a salad green. I've actually had it, we had Goju Cola growing in our herb garden at my medical school. And, I used to eat it when I would go back out there and we would do herb walks, and I would eat it. And it actually is a very pleasant, light-tasting herb. It's more like a lettuce green, like a light spring lettuce green. And you can just add it to salads, and then that'll just be like that medicine boost that you need to add to your food. You can also put it in soups at the end of a soup. Don't boil it. This is a very delicate herb. Don't boil it like collard greens or something. I mean, I don't think you should be boiling collard greens anyway, because it doesn't take that long for them to cook. But, you know, I digress. You can use Gosu Kola as a green and incorporate it into your diet that way. Another thing I wanted to mention about Gosu Kola, and you can see I like Gosu Kola, is that it's actually regarded as a very spiritual herb. You can look at our brothers and sisters in southern India, for example, who practice Ayurveda and, you know, yoga, and who are heavily into meditation and, you know, making sure that the spiritual aspect of the mind is growing and is tonified at all times. Gosu Kola is said by many of those spiritual texts and those medicinal texts that it helps to develop the crown chakra and the energy center, you know, that the crown chakra is the energy center at the top of the head, remember, so crown. And Gosu Kola has been said to balance the right and left hemispheres of the brain, which makes sense because it's a nervine tonic, nervous system tonic, and it resembles the hemispheres of the brain. Like I said, if you look at a Gosu Kola leaf, which you can find a picture if you go to my website, but you can Google it, it looks like a brain. Like if you're looking at the brain from the top, it looks like it. So Gosu Kola is regarded as one of the most rejuvenative herbs in Ayurvedic medicine. And what our ancestors saw in that part of the world is that elephants would actually eat Gosu Kola. And everybody knows how elephants are said to have, like, the best memories. And they're known for living into their hundreds, you know. And, you know, they always are seen munching on this Gosu Kola. And, you know, Gosu Kola, of course, has all of these nervous system properties. That's what, so associating the elephant with that and then the good memory of the elephant. So people associate Gosu Kola not only with helping with memory, but also the longevity of the person and the overall well-being. And to make you nice and vital, the way that, like, the elephant is, and long-standing and grounded and things like that. So the leaves are just known to be a promoter of long life, and as you can see why. And, oh, yeah, I keep thinking of new things to say, or not new things, different things to say about Gosu Kola. It also fortifies the immune system by increasing the your white blood cell count. So if you have, again, like a weakened immune system, if you're looking at you're monitoring your white blood cell count, especially in those people who are dealing with AIDS and HIV. We used to give a lot of patients when I used to work at I worked at an AIDS center when I was in school, and we used to give Gosu Kola to a lot of them in combination with other herbs that were in formulas for them. But it was really good for helping to get the white blood cell count up. So yeah. And then, of course, it helps you to sleep. I mean, it's a nervine tonic all the way around. I mean, Gosu Kola is just awesome. I had to talk about it first. And so get up on the Gosu Kola, you guys. It's extremely fabulous as, like, a beginner. You're just trying to get into tonic herbs, something that you can take all the time, every single day, every single way. You can't overdose on it. Gosu Kola, bomb, bomb, bomb herb. All right. So next, I'm going to talk about some cardiovascular herbs. Hawthornberry is another one of my favorite herbs. It's used to promote the health of the circulatory system. It's been used to treat angina, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure. What else have I seen it used for? We've used it for cardiac arrhythmias. It just overall strengthens the heart. It's food and nourishment for the heart. The heart just eats up and loves hawthornberry. Hawthorn is widely regarded by many traditional herbalists and healers as an effective treatment for the early stages of heart disease. And it has been used for a number of ailments, including, you know, myocarditis, which is an inflammation of the muscle of the heart, arteriosclerosis, which is the hardening of the arteries that, you know, the hardening of the arteries happens before you even get to the heart attack or the stroke. or the high blood pressure. It starts. I did a few shows where I mentioned there was a study done in Bogalusa, Louisiana, and they did these studies on these children. They were like grade school, all the way down to like kindergarten, pre-K, I think, all the way up to like high school or middle school, one of those. But anyway, they did these studies on these kids, and they were trying to see if you could find early signs of cardiovascular disease in children, because people were like, well, these people have these heart disease problems, and, you know, some of them, we didn't think they were going to develop it, or, you know, they had such extensive heart disease or vascular diseases that they're trying to figure out when does the progression start. You know, you can't, because you can't develop all of the plaque and all of the hardening and stuff in just, you know, maybe like a decade or so. I mean, to the extent that people have it. So people wanted to find out exactly when does the cardiovascular disease start. And people, my people, they were finding streaks, like fatty streaks, which were the beginning of plaque buildup in kindergartner children.
Wow.
They were finding these fatty streaks and plaques. And that blew me away. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And they were in Louisiana, y'all, so you know they was testing us. You know that they had some brothers and sisters, children, tested. Most of them were black. There were some white kids in there, but most of them was African. So our children are getting these diseases from the, you know, from probably the womb, depending on how you're eating when you're pregnant, you know, depending on what you feed them once they come out into the world, you know, the formula and all that stuff. Oh, okay. So back to Hawthorne. So with that being said, you know, we have put a lot of stress on our cardiovascular system. So it's necessary for us to begin, once we become conscious about it, to tonify and support the cardiovascular system so it doesn't have to work as hard, so that we can start to clean it up. And Hawthorne is extremely helpful in that. And it's another one of those herbs that you have to take consistently for a longer period of time, because you're not going to take Hawthorne berry like a week and see your arteriosclerosis heal up, or your arteries start to become more elastic and pliable. No, you have to take Hawthorne berry for, I think, a few weeks. I know people that have been using it for a long time, so they're good now, but usually when we start, they have to take it for at least a month to start noticing, oh, you know what, like I noticed that I'm not having like that kind of oppressive feeling in my chest, or, you know, I'm not having like those pains. Mm. I feel like I can walk up the stairs a little bit more than I could. I can actually, take a walk and not feel out of breath after a few steps. So you just have to be consistent with it. But if you are, Hawthorne berry will just bless you with its fabulousness as a healing herb. So Hawthorne also has been indicated in many herbalists and traditional healers for strengthening the blood vessels. So not only does it clean up, because remember, Hawthorne is a berry, so it's antioxidant, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. So it helps to clean out the arteries and the plaques and the damage that's done to the arteries by high blood pressure, long-standing high blood pressure, but it also strengthens the blood vessels. It helps with improving the integrity of the collagen and elastin in the arteries, making it more pliable and able to accommodate to the blood flow. Because your arteries are supposed to be like kind of like a rubber tube. Rubber tubes aren't rigid and hard. You know, they can even stretch a little bit, you know, depending on the amount of water that's going through. So your blood vessels are supposed to be like that. They're supposed to give a little bit to the blood and accommodate the blood as it, you know, goes through this bend of the artery and goes through the heart and, you know, comes into the lungs. And it's supposed to be directive, but also a little yielding to the growth and the descent of the amount of blood going through. And when your arteries are hard from eating a lot of fast food and trans fats and sugars that cause inflammation and all this kind of stuff, they become hard and rigid, and that blood pressure is like filling, it's like, it can be like trying, like I like it could be like filling up a glass jar with like with or like a glass tube with water, and then you fill it up and the pressure gets so hard against those walls that it breaks it. So that's pretty much what happens when you can, when you have heart attacks and strokes. You know, the blood vessel really is the heart, poops out because it's like, oh, I can't take this pressure anymore. And people get holes in, or just like cracks in the arteries, and that's when the plaques form. So all that to say, hawthorn berry helps with strengthening and bringing the integrity back of the vessel. It also helps with vascular insufficiencies. Those people that have varicose veins can also benefit from hawthorn too. Hawthorn also helps with those that develop blood clots or who have developed blood clots in the past. In the past, it helps you to not get those back. You know, it helps you not to make them come back. And like I said, hawthorn berry is like food for the heart. It helps to actually restore the myocardial fibers, which are the heart muscle fibers, and it just makes the heart, it can actually help to restore a heart after a myocardial infarction or a heart attack, and it can help to strengthen the, heal the vessels in the brain that that were damaged during stroke. And see, this is when combination and complementarity of herbs comes into place. We just talked about gotu kola being great and having affinity for the nervous system and the brain, and that's good for stroke. Now, you can use hawthorn berry and gotu kola together for a stroke person because not only is it nourishing to the cardiovascular system and the circulation, but then you have the gotu kola that's going to send that medicine to the brain. So that's just a great combination. And, again, I have both of them at my store that you can use. That's easy to find. Now, hawthorn contains active compounds, like I said, that are antioxidants. Remember, antioxidants are those substances that scavenge for free radicals, which are those damaging compounds in the body that alter the cell membranes, and they create mutation, and they create aging, you know, because they're tampering with the DNA of the cells. And they can either die or they can mutate and or age. That's what they're going to do. So free radicals, and they just occur naturally. Well, I don't want to say naturally, but they occur in nature, but they're also in the environment because of all of the pollution that's in our air, that's in our water, radiation, ultraviolet light, cigarette smoking, all that contributes to free radicals in our environment. And what these antioxidants in hawthorn have been found to do is they neutralize the free radicals that come into contact with our bodies, but most especially in the cardiovascular system, because they also, those free radicals can also damage the vasculature, they can also damage the heart tissue, they can damage the vasculature in the brain. So hawthorn not only nourishes and feeds the cardiovascular system, but it also protects it from those things that could try to damage it. So this is an excellent herb. Everybody should drink it. It's very safe to use, again, long-term. You cannot overdose on hawthorn. Many indigenous Americans, so those people who were here in America before other folk, they used hawthorn as a tea, and it was just a tea to drink. You can make hawthorn berry tea. It's a berry, so it'll taste really good. You just boil it in a pot with, like, you know, a quart of water or however much you want to make, and it makes a pretty good tea. And it's good for everyone to drink, adults, elders, all the way down to children. So, I used to make it all the time. I don't know why I haven't made it in a while, but just talking about it makes me want to make it again. It's actually a good, you can make it in the spring and make it like an iced tea, or you can make it in the winter and make it a warm tea. So definitely get up on hawthorn. Now, the next herb I want to talk about is red clover. Red clover is considered to be one of the richest sources of isoflavones, which are water-soluble chemicals that act like estrogens. Now, they act like estrogens. They are not estrogen. There's been a lot of confusion, especially with a lot of these the nuts and seeds that are said to contain these isoflavones, which are in a category called phytoestrogens. So people have been saying, oh, you don't want to use it too much because it can cause breast cancer or ovarian cancer or all those. No. Now, if it's you talking about soy, because some people try to tell people they need to get their isoflavones and phytoestrogens from soy, that's a whole other story. I would not recommend using soy. I recommend if you do want to get your isoflavones and phytoestrogens from something, you can use red clover. Red clover phytoestrogens are not estrogen. They are not in any way a human estrogen. So they are not going to contribute to breast cancer, uterine, ovarian, any other estrogen-sensitive cancers. They're not going to make men grow breasts or something if they drink red clover tea. I've heard, like, some crazy stuff, y'all, so I'm just trying to just housekeep and get that out of the way. Red clover is great. It's therefore used, because of the phytoestrogen, it's used for, like, those fluctuations or imbalances in estrogen throughout the life of women, especially. So it's been used traditionally for postmenopausal women who are experiencing hot flashes or flushes, because with menopause, once you are transitioning into that realm of your womanhood, your estrogen is going to drop a little bit in this society. Some women go through their menopause in other cultures, or I want to say in other groups of people throughout the world, they don't have the symptoms that women have in this country. They just kind of transition. They stop having their period, and they're like, oh, well, okay, I guess I'm in menopause. But here, because of the excess of synthetic estrogen-like compounds in the form of chemicals like plastics in our food, those chemicals actually do create havoc in our body with our hormones, and they create the hot flashes and things like that, because when your estrogen drops, you get hot flashes because your veins actually, or your vessels actually have estrogen receptors on the lining of them, and they are looking for the estrogen. It's decreased and they can't find it, so they dilate trying to find more estrogen in the blood, and when that dilation happens, that's when you get that rush of whew, hot, you know, like of heat, you know, up in your head, in your chest, wherever else you feel it. So yes, it's good. It's great for postmenopausal women. It's great for PMS and menstruating women, breast enhancement. It's been traditionally used for. I have not actually seen it in practice make your breast bigger, you know, make somebody's breast bigger, but that's what it's, I've read it in a few traditional medicine literature that's what it's been used for. But hey, if somebody finds that it helps with breast enlargement, hit me up. The breast health aspect of red clover is huge, because this, it just helps with balancing the hormones. So if you have like fibrocystic breasts, if you have cysts in the breast that you get maybe like, you know, following your period or before your period, you know, even if you are dealing with those estrogen-sensitive cancers, red clover has been useful in helping to alleviate, you know, and to help people get like their tumors shrunk down, and all kinds of things have been reported as a red clover helping with. So red clover also has been, it's in the blood purifying category, by the way. Red clover is looked at as being an alterative, a blood purifier. So it has an effect on the lymphatic system and the immune system and the endocrine system, which, again, your reproductive system is the endocrine system. So it also helps with lowering cholesterol and improves urine production. So for those people that maybe have, like, they feel like they're not able to go to the bathroom as much, they feel like they're, for whatever reason, having problems with urination, red clover can help with that. It also improves circulation of the blood. Again, it helps actually, I read a few studies to where it has helped with preventing osteoporosis in women, which makes sense because red clover is extremely mineral rich. It has a great deal of trace minerals as well as like some of your main minerals like magnesium, phosphorus, potassium. It has chromium, vitamin C, thiamine, many, many nutrients in it. And for the brothers, this is not just a women's herb. It actually can reduce the it can help reduce the prostate enlargement in benign prostatic hypertrophy or BPH because it helps to regulate those hormones and it's anti-inflammatory. So definitely men can use it too. Red clover also has been shown to be beneficial to the cardiovascular system. It helps specifically with helping to break up clots in the blood and for dissolving arterial plaque. So you can drink that tea and along with some of your other cardiovascular herbs and really see improvement with your cardiovascular system. Let's see if there's anything else I would like to talk about with red clover. That's pretty much it. I mean, red clover is just a great hormone regulator, a great blood purifier. It's been very useful for many thousands of years by people, indigenous people. For women, it's used a lot as a women's herb, but also for men. So definitely get up on red clover if you are having any hormonal imbalances or just as an everyday tonic you can drink to help purify your blood and keep your blood clean. The next herb I want to talk about is one of the first herbs that I actually made herbal teas from is red raspberry leaf. Red raspberry and the fruit, too, but red raspberry leaf is really what's used for medicine. Red raspberries are known to help with reducing inflammation. They're big anti-inflammatory herbs, and they're just so it's like a gentle acting herb, but it has such a potent response. So because it helps reduce inflammation, it also has been used for pain relief associated with gout, arthritis, and menstrual cramps as well. And this is because of the presence of the anthocyanidins, which are antioxidants, you know, that you those actually make the berries red, but they're also found in the leaves too. Drinking a tea made from red raspberries or a red raspberry leaf 3 times a day can actually make a difference in the amount of anti-inflammatory medications that people need to take. So if you're on, like, steroids or if you're on painkillers and stuff, starting to implement taking red raspberry tea every day or red raspberry supplement, like the ground herb in a capsule, then you can really reduce the amount of those medications like aspirin, ibuprofen, other painkillers. You can really reduce the amount you are taking of those. The antioxidant properties found in red raspberry can also help to protect the cell membranes from free radical damage. So again, the antioxidants in these herbs or in this herb helps to fend off the cellular damage from those environmental radicals that try to come in. The compound that has all of these antioxidant effects in red raspberry leaf is actually called ellagic acid. And ellagic acid is not the only antioxidant found in raspberries, but it's the one that's the most potent that's been seen scientifically. The fruits contain some ellagic acid too, but the fruit doesn't contain as much as the leaf. The leaf actually has more of it, which is why it's used for medicine. But the whole plant contains also quercetin, which is found in other plants, most especially your pungent leeks and onions, garlic have quercetin in them, and they're helpful with allergies, allergic reactions. They help to bring down the histamine in the body that creates those reactions. And they also help to boost the immune system response, bacteria, fungi, yeast, all those kind of things that can develop in the body because of those, the antioxidants and the ellagic acid. And then, of course, red raspberry has been used for thousands of years by traditional herbalists and healers as a helpful uterine tonic. It strengthens the uterus during pregnancy, before pregnancy, and it helps to strengthen contractions during labor. So the tea actually doesn't bring on contractions. It just helps to focus the contractions and make them more effective for helping assist the baby in coming out. Of course, you have to make sure that you're in a good position too, but it just helps with focusing those contractions. So I've actually I know a few sisters that had drank their raspberry tea while they were delivering, and they said it really did help with that delivering process. If you have complications with your pregnancy, just consult with your midwife about using red raspberry tea, because when you have a complicated pregnancy with other things going on, then certain herbs may or may not be best for you, or there can be other herbs that are better for you. So just consult with your caretaker, your midwife, about which herbs would be best for your particular pregnancy. And red raspberry is also a safe remedy for children. Raspberry tea is given to reduce fever, to calm their nerves. It's given as a nutritive because it's so chock full of different nutrients. It's good for helping with diarrhea. It's great. It's a great tonic herb for children as well. So it's high in vitamin C too, which is great for kids, especially when they're getting back to school or if your child is first getting into like a school. It's good to kind of give them something that will support their little immune systems when they're getting around other kids that they weren't around before. It just helps with protecting their bodies from getting sick. So that's pretty much all I have to say about red raspberry. Now, just a few more herbs. I know that we are at the 4 o'clock hour, but I just have a few more. I have about, let's see, one, two, three, four more herbs I'm going to talk about really quick. Nettle leaf is another one I want to talk about because I talked about red raspberry. I have to talk about nettle. The women of many indigenous groups in America, because this herb is pretty native to the Americas, Central America, Caribbean, South America too. But women in many of the indigenous groups of this part of the world, they would use nettle leaf tea in all cycles of life. Nettles was regarded as a superior general women's tonic, and it was used throughout pregnancy, childbirth, and to stop hemorrhaging if that occurred during childbirth.
Oh, wow.
So nettles is a pretty potent herb. Nettles also tonifies the reproductive system. So if you're looking to get pregnant, if you're looking for, like, fertility herbs to help you get pregnant, nettles is great for that. And it was often used because it has, like, those nutrients that you need in order to prepare the uterus. Some women may be lacking in nutrients that are useful for, not useful, but are needed for ovulation to occur. Like, if you're deficient, then your body will not ovulate as effectively. And even for men take it to make sure that their spermatogenesis is on point, so that they're, you know, making enough sperm, so that they are actually able to get an erection. You know, if you're deficient, you won't be able to perform as well. So it's just a great overall fertility herb and something to use if you are planning on getting pregnant. Also, nettles is great for young women who just started their menstrual cycle. So if you have a young sister in your life, if it's a daughter, a sister, a niece, whatever, and she just started her menstrual cycle, this is a great tea for her to just take, especially when she starts understanding when her period is about to come. So if it's a week before and she, you know, and the week of or the few days of, then that's a good tea to take to help keep the, to not only help with hormone regulation so that PMS doesn't develop, or if they have PMS, it can help with regulating that, but it can also help with symptoms of mineral depletion. It can help with regulating the bleeding. Let's say maybe her period is bleeding a little bit too much. It can just really help with regulating and keeping the period calm and peaceful and a good experience. So, and then it's nutritive again, so it helps them not to be so depleted in iron and minerals and things that a lot of sisters can become depleted in during their cycle. So that's something that the women can share together, having their nettle tea and maybe even the raspberry tea, because young sisters can drink the raspberry tea too, along with the nettles, to help just with every stage of the woman's life. Everybody can drink nettle tea. So so absolutely, nettle tea is great. Another great reproductive system tonifying herb, hormonal tonifying herb, definitely get up on that. The next herb I want to talk about is yellow dock. Yellow dock root is excellent. It is considered an alterative and a blood purifier, so it works on the lymphatic system, immune system, the elimination system, digestive system, because it is very bitter, so it will stimulate your digestion and improve it. And then it being an alterative, it really helps the organ system that it has an effect on is the liver, because it is bitter and kind of sour. So yellow dock, in its healing nature, it has a mild laxative effect, and it can be freely used as a laxative, if that's all you're using it for, but at the same time, it's also going to be a tonic for conditions like rheumatism, liver and gallbladder complaints, because it does have that affinity to the liver and cleansing the liver, supporting the liver and detoxification, and it's astringent, so that means that it pulls the tissues together, it tonifies it, so think of something that's like sagging and lack of tone. So when the tissues get like that inside of you, the organs, the mucous membranes, they don't function as well. Yellow dock has ability to tighten those tissues and to make it make them more tonified and toned. So it's great for the venous system. So good for varicose veins, good for hemorrhoids. You know, you can take the tea internally, and you can take some tea and put it on a cotton ball and actually dab your hemorrhoids with it if they're on the outside. But eventually, over time of taking the yellow dock, it will actually tonify those tissues, and it will make it to where they're not lax and hanging and not as taut and where they need to be. Because of this astringent nature, it also helps with bleeding. It's traditionally been used for bleeding in the lungs. If you maybe are coughing up blood, or you know you have like an abscess or something in the lung, then yellow dock tea is a really good for you to take to help facilitate the healing of those disorders. And the bitterness of the herb is going to help the immune system. It's going to boost the immune system because it's an alterative, and that's going to help with any pathogen caused behind that ailment that's causing the bleeding. And yellow dock has been prescribed for diseases of the blood specifically and the skin because usually, most of the time, all skin disorders, they occur because of some kind of toxin in the blood. That's pretty much what skin rashes of any kind, whether it's eczema or hives or anything, acne. All of it has to do with blood toxicity, or like some kind of something in the blood or the lymphatic system that's offensive to the body. So yellow dock helps with those skin eruptions by purifying the blood. Yellow dock also helps with this by supplying the body with vitamins and minerals to address deficiencies. Because of that, it's been shown to help with thyroid disorders, general detoxification, anemia, been used for thousands of years in formulas for those kind of diseases or for those kind of conditions. It's also useful in jaundice because, again, it's nourishing the liver. It can help with, mild jaundice conditions. Because it's a bitter, it's been shown to tonify the stomach and the digestive system in general. So yellow dock is another excellent indigenous herb that we should utilize as a part of our tonifying our system. Oh, yes, another herb that I have to talk about is cayenne. Cayenne pepper is an important part of herbal treatment for muscle pain, any kind of musculoskeletal pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, even nerve pain caused by shingles, sciatica, diabetic neuropathy. It's been used to help with all of that. The mechanism behind the pain-relieving properties of cayenne appears to act increasing the concentration of substance P. So substance P is this chemical that's released by nerves to transmit pain signal to the brain. So when you deplete the nerves of that, then the pain goes away. Cayenne is tonifying to the nervous system and the cardiovascular system. So this is another reason why it helps with pain, because pain can also be caused by stagnation of blood not circulating to the joints, to the muscles. It creates soreness, it creates stiffness. So that plus the substance P depletion can help with pain. cayenne pepper added to the diet has also been shown to strengthen digestion. It boosts immunity towards infection. It speeds up metabolism as well. So, you know, it helps the body burn excess fatty stores and instead use that fat for energy, because now it's kind of increased the metabolism, and the metabolism needs something to burn. So if you take cayenne on a regular basis, don't take too much now. Don't go and drink, like, cups of cayenne because you know, you saying that Dr. Phoebe told you to do that. No. You only need to take a little bit of it. Spice your food with it. Take, like, a capsule of, like, a not-so-hot cayenne that you get from the herb store. But I do, and I sell cayenne also in my herb store. And you can use it that way. But, you know, just be holistic with it. And just doing that, just adding it to food, taking a capsule every day, can really help with boosting your metabolism. It'll even give you energy. And again, cayenne is a very, very valuable heart tonic. I mean, you can tell that it's a heart tonic about when you eat it, what happens. You sweat, your heart starts beating a little bit quicker. You know, these spicy peppers, like cayenne, contain capsicum, which is the constituent that makes the spicy taste in cayenne. And that capsicum has been shown to reduce cholesterol, has been reducing triglyceride levels, and increases circulation. It feeds the heart the same way that, like, hawthorn feeds the heart, nourishes and invigorates the heart muscle. And, you know, it helps with the blood and lymph flowing smoothly through the circulation, through the arteries and veins. So it's really good for anybody that has, like, any kind of cardiovascular disease, especially those people who are post-heart attack, post-stroke. They need that heart food. They need that something that's going to help the circulation, you know, through the arteries, and that will help to heal the arteries. So this is an excellent herb for that. And you can pair it again with hawthorn berries and gotu kola, which are the other cardiovascular herbs that we talked about today. So cayenne pepper, definitely get up on that. The next herb I want to talk about, and there's only two more herbs I want to talk about. So saw palmetto, you know, these are like those deep purple berries from the saw palmetto fan palm. And I'm from South Carolina, so I saw these everywhere. It's basically the state plant in South Carolina. So, and I see it out here sometimes. People try to grow it in Arizona, but it doesn't do as well. Saw palmetto is remarkable for both men and women. A lot of times it's touted as a man herb, but it really can be used and has been used traditionally for men and women. It's been used by indigenous people in the Americas to treat a variety of ailments. Testicular inflammation is one. Urinary tract inflammation is another. Coughs and respiratory congestion are also used for the saw palmetto tea or decoction. It's also been used to strengthen the thyroid gland. And help to balance metabolism, because, you know, when you have thyroid gland hypofunctioning and even hyperfunctioning can mess with your metabolism, because it can make you run too high. But having specifically a hypothyroid state, it can make it to where your metabolism is sluggish and you're not, you know, energetic, and then that can mess with your fertility. It can mess with other parts of your body. So it has a tendency to stimulate appetite and digestion. So saw palmetto is a great herb. It's wonderful. It's becoming famous to use as a hair restorer also for people who, for hormonal reasons, are starting to lose their hair. They've been using saw palmetto berry for that as well. Prostate health, sexual vigor, breast tonic, you name it. Saw palmetto is a great endocrine tonic herb. It just helps with hormone balancing and all of that. So so absolutely great for both men and women in that regard. So get up on the saw palmetto berry. The next herb I want to talk about is, burdock. Burdock root is another fabulous herb. It is rich in minerals. It's been used by indigenous people for many, many years, for thousands of years. And really all I have to say about burdock is that it's a superior blood cleanser. It's a superior liver tonic. So if you are doing a detox, if you're doing a cleanse, if you know that you need to get those some things neutralized in your body and also gain some nutrition during your cleanse, burdock root is a great herb to do that. This plant is useful in most conditions that are dealing with the liver, like I said, cleansing, any kind of overload of toxins in the body, whether it's heavy metals, whether it's parasites, whether it's yeast, anything. You know, you can use it in combination with other herbs that address those things, but just to support the liver. It's a really great liver supportive herb, and then a nutritive too. So you can buy it as a dried root and make a decoction, or you can buy, you go to like Asian stores and things like that and actually buy the whole root and cook it like a potato. So so burdock root is absolutely, absolutely a fabulous detoxifying tonic herb. The last thing I want to talk about is sarsaparilla. Sarsaparilla is one of my BFF herbs. I actually take this one pretty consistently myself, because it's just a old-school southern herb that a lot of our grandmothers use. My grandmother talks about sarsaparilla all the time. It's famous. It's a famous herb because, along with sassafras, that was those were the herbs used to give root beer its distinctive flavor and spiciness. So if you know what root beer tastes like, you know what sarsaparilla tastes like, and you know what sassafras tastes like. But sarsaparilla, it has been used for centuries by, you know, our ancestors, indigenous people of, like, America, Central, South America, for conditions that need endocrine tonifying. So sarsaparilla is a really great endocrine tonic as well as a blood purifier. So traditionally you'll see it used for sexual impotence, rheumatism, skin ailments, and as a general tonic for physical weakness, because it builds you up. It just kind of gives you an extra boost if you take it consistently. And it has long been used by groups in, Central America, like Honduras, Nicaragua, for headaches and joint pain, and against the common cold. So you can use it for, you can see, it's kind of just like this all-around, really good tonic herb that has many uses. It's also diuretic. It promotes sweat, and it nourishes the liver. And for this reason, it also is helpful for any kind of, like, women reproductive complaints because of imbalanced hormones, and as well as so things like fibroids, endometriosis, ovulatory dysfunction, abnormal bleeding, all those kind of things which are hormonal imbalances of the reproductive system. Sarsaparilla, when taken over time, can really help with that. And as for men, it can also help with infertility, impotence, benign prostatic hypertrophy. It's helping to regulate those hormones. Sarsaparilla is excellent for that. And so you can make that into a tea, a decoction, actually, that you boil, and it actually makes a really nice tasting tea. I like the way it tastes. Some people don't, but, hey, I've been taking herbs for so long. So that's pretty much it. So those are all of the tonic herbs that I wanted to talk about with you today. I hope that was informative. I have fun talking about these herbs because they're my favorite herbs to use for tonics. And again, I sell all of these herbs now. I just opened my store online yesterday. Just go to my website, askdradiro.weebly.com, and you can just go to the products tab. So if you go to the more tab and you go down to products, you'll see it. You just click on it, and you'll be able to browse through the small little startup list of herbs that I have. But that's going to grow as I continue to add different herbs to the list. So that's just like a one-stop shop for you.
I was going to also ask if you can give – if there's like a list of those that you can like post.
For
the list of herbs, so a lot of people can go and, you know, specifically pick the ones that you stated, some of them are awesome. I have some of them here, and I didn't even know that some of those, as far as the specific things, I had got them for one thing, but I wasn't aware
right.
that you can use them for other things. So I was like, oh, wow. Like,
oh, yeah.
So
see, that's why I like herbs.
It's
and
awesome.
That's why the whole herbs is so great, because they can do so many other things. Like you said, you get
yes.
it for one thing, and then it's like, no, if I keep taking it, it's going to help me with this, that, and the third. So
yeah, it's mm-hmm. awesome. So I would
yes.
love
I will.
Just
I will
look
at that list.
Go,
I'll
I'm going to
just,
go to
I'll
your
just copy
store.
And paste it.
Yes. I'm going to go to your store. And you know what? I don't know how I could forget about hawthorn berries. Like, that was, like, on your, the first on your list, if I'm not mistaken. That was, like, the first thing. And I was like, how can I forget about hawthorn berries? I haven't had any in a while. So
right.
I'm like, I need to get some hawthorn berries. So,
me too, sis. I used to make it all the time, and I don't know what happened.
I know.
I
remember
off,
I remember you talking about it all the time, and
yeah.
So, yeah, it's I'm ready. I'm like, I need to get myself ready. I was just telling my sis, I was just telling her that I need to do a clean. I'm so ready. Like, I have a trip
yes.
coming up next, well, in like a week. In about 2 weeks, I'm going to Mardi Gras, so I'm so excited about that.
Uh-oh.
So I said,
nice.
As soon as I get back, I'm going to start
yeah,
on my clean. Yes. I'm going to have to clean.
That's
I
right,
said,
girl.
I'm going to start my cleanse early. For the spring,
yes.
I said, yeah, I'm going to have to get it together because I know I'm going
yes.
I know I ain't going to be right, so I ain't going to act like I am.
That's good. Hey, at least you're real with it. And I'm glad you mentioned the cleanse, too, because I'm preparing for my cleanse, my own personal cleanse, but in order to help other brothers and sisters out there that are wanting to start preparing for their cleanses, or maybe it's your first time, I actually also have on my website, on the Nkingu Herbal and Products Store, I have an Nkingu 10-day clean slate cleanse. So if you're ready to
oh,
clean your
wow.
slate and get ready, I actually
yes.
make my own cleanse that I handmade, handpicked the herbs, put it together, toss it around,
oh, wow.
and package it just for you. So if you go on my site,
that
it's a 10-day
awesome.
Cleanse, and it will get you right. It's something to jumpstart you and get your body cleaned out so that you can start whatever healing program that you want to do. So definitely check that out too. The Nkingu 10-day
wow.
clean slate cleanse for sure.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I have someone that caught me asking me certain questions. I'm gonna
yeah.
contact you because you will know way better. You can assist them way, way, way better than I can. So I'm gonna speak with you and then refer them over to you. You know, as soon as possible. I love the fact that there's so much knowledge that can be passed, especially since you get it in. So I just love
mm-hmm.
the fact that you're so knowledgeable and can assist people in healing in ways that don't have anything to do with trying to scrape up money, go to, you know, get these procedures, get all these pills. And,
right.
You know, that, yeah, that's not even healing. That's, you know, treating or managing issues that, you
right,
know, that
exactly.
might that not ever go away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was walking past. I was in a doctor. I was at the doctor, and I heard this nurse telling him, like, once you get diabetes and high blood pressure, you have it forever. I was thinking of my life. What?
Right?
Are you kidding me? Like, wow! Like, this is the stuff they're telling people, that they're gonna be forever sick. Like, there's nothing. You know? Wow.
Yeah, it's
but
crazy.
It is, sis. So I'm gonna let you go. I'm gonna. Contact, like I said, I'll be in touch. So,
all
for
right.
those of you who
well,
are
I'll be
listening,
here. I'm here for you, here for everybody.
Thank you, my sister. So, for those of you, thanks for listening to us. We'll be back next week.
Yes.
Check out Dr. Dero's website too for those herbs. I know for sure I'm going to check it out. So,
yay.
Peace and love, family. Enjoy your weekend, sis.
All right. You do the same. And everybody else, have a fabulous weekend too.
Peace, family.
Peace.
Dynasty Radio 1382.